Disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Yeah. 40, entitled The Prayers of Akrura, text number 6. Eketva. Eketva kila karmani.
Eketva kila karmani.
Sanyasya poshamam gataha.
Sanyasya poshamam
gataha. Gyanino gyana yagyena.
Gyanino gyana yagyena.
Yajanti gyana vigraham.
Yajanti gyana vigraham.
Eketva kila karmani.
Eketva kila karmani.
Sanyasya poshamam gataha.
Sanyasya
Gyanino gyanam yagyena yajanti gyana vigraham eke tvakila karmani sanyasya upashamam gataha gyanino gyana yagyena Yajanti Gyana Vigraham
Yajanti Gyana Vigraham
Eke Tvakila Karmani Sanyasyo Pashamam Gataha Gyanino Gyana Yagyena Yajanti Gyana Vigraham. In pursuit of spiritual knowledge, some persons renounce all material activities and, having thus become peaceful, perform the sacrifice of philosophic investigation to worship you, the original form of all knowledge. Purport. Modern philosophers pursue knowledge without bothering to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and thus they naturally end up with meager, if not trivial, results. I'll read one more verse because it's just quite a small verse. Anye cha samskritatmano vidhinam bihite natate yajanti tvan mayas tvam vai bahumurtyeka murtikam. And yet others, those whose intelligence is pure, follow the injunctions of Vaishnava scriptures promulgated by you. Absorbing their minds and thoughts of you, they worship you as the one Supreme Lord manifesting in multiple forms. The word Samskritatmana, they whose intelligence is pure, is significant here. It implies that the worshippers mentioned before have not completely purified their intelligence of material contamination and thus worship the Lord indirectly. Those who are purified, however, directly worship the Lord either as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, or as one of His various plenary forms such as Vasudev, Sankarsana, Pradyumna or Aniruddha, as indicated here. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamhayam Dadati Svapradantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sayitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakamritam Sha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Mancha Kalpatarubhyasya Kripa Sindhu Vaivacha Patitanam Pavamevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. I'm just a young boy, so I'll request everyone to please show your mercy so that I can speak something which is from the Shastra and which will enhance my devotional service. Thank you very much. Especially Prabhu here, Prabhu Prabhu, very senior devotee, Prabhupada's disciple. Many of us, including myself, we didn't go through the few chapters previously regarding Akrura's approach to Vrindavan and then his prayers now. So I would just like to go about in a brief description of Akrura's presence at this present moment, you can say. We know that in Vrindavan, Krishna, he killed so many demons. These demons were sent by Kamsa. But after so much work Kamsa has put by sending demons to Vrindavan, he failed. So what he sent his very dear minister, Akrura, to bring Krishna to Mathura, so then he could personally challenge Krishna, or even if he could kill Krishna himself. So Akrura, he went to Vrindavan for a mission. More than a mission to please Kamsa, he went there to actually see Krishna, his lovable, worshipable Lord, you can say. So he went to Vrindavan and he met Krishna and he requested Krishna to come over to Mathura for a festival which the king wanted to inaugurate. But ultimately also Akrura revealed Kamsa's intention. And Krishna, he convinced his father, mother and the residents of Vrindavan, except for the gopis, to go along with him to Mathura. So now, Akrura is driving Krishna and Balaram in the chariot. In the midway, now in Vrindavan, that place is known as Akrura Ghat. That's where Akrura stopped his chariot to perform his ritual. And he went to the river Yamuna for some purificatory process. Anyway, as he went inside Yamuna, he witnessed a special form of the Lord, that of Mahavishnu lying on the bed of Anantashesh. Surrounded by him were all the great sages, such as four Kumaras, Brahma, Lord Shiva and so forth. And now, upon seeing this wonderful form of Mahavishnu, Akrura is offering such wonderful prayers to Mahavishnu. Akrura, he's glorified for his devotional prayers. We know that there are different aspects of devotional service one can perfect themselves. This is explained by Sri Prahlad Maharaj in the 7th canto Srimad Bhagavatam. He said this very, very famous verse, This verse is so famous that Prabhupada, he put a lot of energy and emphasis. He wrote a 13 pages purport on this verse. That is, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Padasevanam Archanam Vandanam Dasyam Sakyam Atmanivedanam. So, we know that different personalities perfected their spiritual life by one of this spiritual element. Like for example, Shravanam, the hearing process, this perfection of hearing was achieved by Parikshit Maharaj. Similarly, Kirtanam is singing the glories of the Lord. This perfection was achieved by Shukadev Goswami. And Smaranam, that was none other than he himself who quoted that verse, Sri Prahlad Maharaj. He perfected his spiritual life just by remembering the form of the Lord. So, we can go on. Similarly, Akrura, he perfected his spiritual life just by offering such wonderful prayers to Krishna. So that's why Akrura, he is considered our role model for offering prayers to Krishna. Like we have Prahlad Maharaj as our role model for the small children, because from a young age he became a devotee. He was a devotee, and he was able to stand the wrath of his father. And also he is a role model because he dedicated his life by remembering Krishna. Similarly, Akrura, he is our role model for offering such wonderful prayers. Previously, Akrura, he explained such wonderful verses wherein he explained that actually everyone in this entire creation is somehow or other worshipping Krishna. Somehow or other. Indirectly. Speaking indirectly, in the previous verses he was explaining how people are indirectly worshipping Krishna through performing some ritualistic Vedic sacrifices and so forth. Now, at this present moment, Akrura, he is explaining, even a person pursuing for knowledge, he is also indirectly approaching Krishna. It is explained in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna explains in the 7th chapter that there are 4 personalities who are very, very special persons. They are actually considered Sukritina. Sukritina means those who are pious living entities. He says, Lord Sri Krishna says, Chatur vidha bhajante imam jana sukritinarjuna arto jigyasur artarti gyanicha bharata shabha. That there are 4 personalities who are considered Sukritinas or pious living entities. Those who are in distress and they approach the Supreme Lord, they are considered great personality. And those who are in seeking wealth, they approach Krishna, they are also a great personality. And those who are inquisitive and they inquire about Krishna or the Absolute Truth, they are interested in understanding who Krishna is, they are also great personalities. And above all, those who are seeking knowledge, transcendental knowledge of Krishna, they are also considered great personalities or Sukritinas. We know that Gajendra, he was considered a devotee who approached Krishna out of distress. Because we know the famous story in the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. It's explained how Gajendra, he was attacked by a crocodile. When he was attacked by the crocodile, he tried to free himself. How did he try to free himself? He took shelter, he took help of his very beloved spouse, the wives, the female elephants, and other relatives. And so with all their might, or with all their effort, they tried to save this very strong Gajendra. But out of futility, they fail. So, Gajendra, for 1,000 celestial years, he fought with the crocodile. He fought with the crocodile for so many years. The crocodile was so strong. It's explained that why is it the crocodile was very strong? Because in the water, obviously the crocodile is the living entity of the water, and because the elephant was in the water, obviously the crocodile will win. But if the elephant was on the land, the elephant would defeat the crocodile. But because the elephant was in the water, Gajendra was in the water, so that's why he couldn't fight the strength of the crocodile. And so he out of distress called out for Krishna, and Krishna responded to him, and he killed the crocodile and saved Gajendra. So we can see an example of a person who approached Krishna out of distress, that is Gajendra. Similarly, a person who approaches Krishna seeking wealth is, the famous example is Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj, he approached Krishna for seeking wealth. And nevertheless, Krishna gave him wealth, which was even greater than his grandfather, Lord Brahma. Because he approached Krishna, Krishna was able to give him more than the creation he gave to Brahma, Lord Brahma. And similarly, the example of those who perfected their spiritual life through inquisitiveness are the sages in Naimisharanya, headed by Shaunaka Rishi. And similarly, those who perfected their life by acquiring spiritual knowledge are those none other than the celebrated sons of Lord Brahma, the four Kumaras, who are unadulterated brahmacharis. And so they are very young, at the age of 5. They actually perfected their spiritual life through seeking knowledge. We should understand, knowledge has an important aspect, it's a very important aspect in one's life, generally speaking. By acquiring knowledge properly, we can get the proper result. But by acquiring knowledge improperly, we'll get the opposite result, as mentioned in the purport in this verse. We understand the four Kumaras, although they were Brahmavadis, they believed in Brahman effulgence as such, but because they didn't envy Krishna and they were seeking knowledge, they ultimately got the mercy of Krishna. How did they get the mercy of Krishna? Not by their head knowledge, by the mercy of they got the mercy of Krishna through wonderful devotional fragrance, that is the tulasi and chandan, which entered in the nostrils of the four Kumaras, and they were able to perfect their life like that. But on the other hand, if a person acquires knowledge and tries to reason spirituality through logic and reasoning, they will not be successful. They will actually fail. We can see even persons, those who are not interested in spiritual life, and they have such vast amount of knowledge, but because they rely on such knowledge, which are in themselves not able to help such person, they fail in their own life. Like for example, the famous example of it is the Big Bang Theory, which was propagated by the famous Darwin. Darwin said in the beginning it's just a theory, but he tried to prove the Big Bang Theory, and he tried to prove how the human beings came from the apes, but that ultimately didn't save him. It's explained in the Ishopanishad, andam tama pravishante ye vidyam samupasthite tato bhuya ivate tamo yau vidhyayam rataha, that if a person is ignorant, he is in dangerous condition, because he is guaranteed hellish life. But if a person who is in knowledge, material knowledge, he's more dangerous. He's more dangerous than a person who is in ignorance. Because it's, as Isha Upanishad explains, that the person with knowledge, why is he more dangerous? Because not only will he go to hellish life himself, he will also help others to go to hellish life. That's why he's more dangerous. He's considered like a serpent. Like the ignorant person is also considered like a serpent, because serpents or the snakes are dangerous by nature. But the person with knowledge, he's considered a jewel on the serpent's head. So by his knowledge, vast amount of knowledge, everyone can appreciate him. But because the knowledge is just to degrade themselves to the hellish condition of life, that's why they're considered like a jewel on the serpent's head. So they are considered the Mayavadis. Because they embrace the Bhagavad Gita, but they misinterpret Bhagavad Gita wrongly. Krishna clearly says that all worship should be done to me, one should offer obeisances to me, but the Mayavadis, they blaspheme Krishna by taking all by manipulating Krishna's words. So they're considered serpents who have jewels on their head. So and the result of it is that they are always in the hellish condition of life. Even they cannot actually achieve even Sayujya Mukti or impersonal liberation, because they blaspheme Krishna. Krishna is the one only who can avoid liberation. Because they blaspheme Krishna, so they don't get favor of Krishna. And surely they fail in their life. My teacher was teaching me Srimad Bhagavatam. He was explaining the sad situation for those Mayavadis or even the Buddhists, because they believe in non-existence or they believe in merging in oneness. Even if they go in the higher realm, but they will have to fall down, and their situation will be such that their head will be ducked under the Karanadaka ocean for millions of lifetime. Their head is under the sand for millions of lifetime, because that is their goal. So Krishna made their goal such a way that they have to stick their head in millions of lifetime under the Karanadaka ocean. So that is truly a hellish life, because apparently they have knowledge, but such knowledge are not considered profound spiritual transcendental knowledge. So they have to suffer such consequence. And because they preach to others on this Mayavadi philosophy, that's why they consider very dangerous. More dangerous than the persons who are in ignorance. That's why Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made a famous statement. He says, Mayavadi bhashya sunile hoya sarvanash. Those who hear the Mayavad philosophy, he is finished. His spiritual life is doomed. So that's why every one of us should guard ourselves from such association. In this regard, I would like to just tell you a small story. In regards to material knowledge and, you know, spiritual knowledge as such. This story was actually explained by Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada mentioned there was a gentleman in Calcutta. This gentleman, this scholarly gentleman of Calcutta, he wanted to get over to his home. So what did he do? He had to cross a river. So he had to get on the boat. As he went and got on the boat, he was going on the boat and he was asking different questions to the boatman. And then finally he asked the boatman, Do you know anything about the stars and the astronomy? The boatman said, no, I don't know anything about astronomy. I don't know anything about the stars. So the scholar said, oh, you don't know anything about the stars? You don't know anything about the astronomy? He said, I know about it. He said, your life is 25% wasted. He said, your life is wasted 25%. So as they were going on in their ride, the scholar again asked the boatman, boatman, do you know about geology? Do you know about the earth and water, how they're working? And the boatman said, no, I don't know anything about it because I'm a poor man. And the scholar said, oh, you're 25%, another 25% is wasted. So total, you're 50% is wasted. So all of a sudden, there was a black cloud which came above the boatman and the scholar's head. That black cloud was a storm that this storm was so fierce. The boatman said, he asked the scholar, scholar, do you know how to swim? The scholar said, no, I don't know how to swim. And then the boatman said, I'm sorry, I can't help the boat. I have to go and save myself. I know how to swim, so I'll swim. And he said, if you don't know how to swim, so you're 100% is wasted. So our real nature is that of a spirit soul. The characteristic of the spirit soul is to know about Krishna. And a person identifying oneself with the body and anything in relationship with the body is considered as the scholar. He may know everything about the material creation, how to facilitate the body the best way, how to have such a wonderful house, how to do the business perfectly. But ultimately, if a person doesn't know, doesn't have the knowledge how to solve the cycle of repetition of birth and death, and how to cross over the ocean of material existence, he will drown himself, and ultimately he fails. We've seen so many great personalities, who had great wealth, who had great knowledge, who was famous, but ultimately all such wonderful, apparently materially beautiful aspects they had, all such aspects didn't help them. Like for example, Alexander the Great, he conquered so many countries, but he couldn't conquer himself from the cycle of birth and death. And we had so many philosophers like Darwin, he had so much knowledge, but he couldn't help himself to solve the cycle of repetition of birth and death. But a person who actually inquires into the absolute truth, one who follows in the footsteps of the four Kumaras, then they are able to actually facilitate themselves and will be an expert swimmer to cross over the repetition of birth and death. We understand that this knowledge aspect is very, very important, especially in the celibate or the younger generation, as we, you know, especially persons beginning Krishna consciousness, we should acquire this transcendental knowledge. This transcendental knowledge is not only the book knowledge, but it's also realized knowledge through practical devotional service. So from as early as possible, one who engages themselves in Krishna conscious knowledge will help themselves cross over the repetition of cycle of birth and death. But ultimately, we should understand all these four personalities, those who are seeking wealth, those who are in distress, those who are inquisitive, and those who are in seeking knowledge, they are not considered pure devotees. But they all have the facility to become pure devotees by the wonderful association of the Lord's devotees. By the association of the Lord's devotees, they are able to love Krishna. This is explained in Bhagavad Gita by Srila Prabhupada himself. Because by the mercy of the devotees, is it possible that one can understand who Krishna is? Like for example, if one has never been to America, suppose no one has been to America before, but how do we understand about America? It is best understood. A person can understand about America, these favorite delicacies of America, the famous buildings of America, by the person who knows America, who has been to America. Similarly, if we want to know who Krishna is, if we want to inquire into absolute truth, beyond who is beyond logic and mathematical calculation, then it is best understood by a devotee of Krishna. That's why true real knowledge only comes from a devotee of Krishna. Why? Because the devotees of Krishna rely on the knowledge which is coming from Krishna's mouth in the form of Bhagavad Gita and in the form of Bhagavatam, which is coming from Shukadev Goswami. So that's why their knowledge is highly realized. And if one follows the teachings of the devotees of Krishna, their spiritual goal is guaranteed. And what do the saintly persons or devotees propagate? They propagate the famous yoga, bhakti yoga, the devotional service of the Lord. Devotees teach us, they don't teach us what the Mayavadis teach. They teach us how we should actually offer obeisances to Krishna. That me, Krishna refers to Bhagavad Gita, is Krishna. That is the teachings of the devotees. Devotees teach us how we should offer obeisances to Krishna, how we should give everything for the loving service to Krishna, how we should become a devotee of Krishna. Devotees, they don't have a concocted idea of what is spiritual life. Devotees have realized knowledge what spiritual life is because it's coming from the scriptures. That's how we can verify a devotee. A devotee is verified in three aspects. A devotee is recognized if he is following the Shastra, very important, and that he is following an authority or the Acharya, who is recognizing the spiritual parampara system or the disciplic succession, and he is also recognized having a guru, a bona fide guru, or a bona fide spiritual master, like Srila Prabhupada and so forth. So, a devotee, he teaches us that the ultimate goal of life is to love Krishna. And the devotees help us shape our intelligence. The devotees help us shape our intelligence. Very important. Because generally at this present days, the mind controls the intelligence. But the actual spiritual state is that the intelligence which is directed by the spirit soul actually directs the mind. So devotees help us shape our intelligence such a way we can discriminate what is pleasing to Krishna and what is not pleasing to Krishna. By such discrimination, what is favorable to Krishna and what is not favorable to Krishna, one can actually follow the Pancharatrika system of devotional service. The ultimate purpose of Pancharatra is the teachings of Narada Muni on the subject of regulated devotion to Krishna. The purpose of such Pancharatra system is that one should remember Krishna and one should never forget Krishna, and only rules and regulation is to dovetail and serve the purpose to remember Krishna and not forget Him. Smartavya satadam Vishnu vismartavya na jhatu chit sarve vidhi nishedashur etayor eva kinkara. Sarve vidhi nishedashur, as here is mentioned, the famous word vidhina, Vidhinai could be also seen as Pancharatra, as mentioned in this verse, Vidhi. So, the purpose of all Vidhis, or our moral behavior, or whatever behavior we may have, should facilitate one's remembering Krishna and never forgetting Him. This is only by the mercy of the devotees, as explained in Bhagavad Gita, in the 16th verse, 16th chapter. And actually, in the 7th chapter, text number 16. Another point I wanted to mention, why is the person seeking knowledge better than the person's inquisitive or distressed or seeking wealth? It's explained by Srila Prabhupada here. He who is situated in pure knowledge of the transcendence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is so protected in devotional service that material contamination cannot touch him. That's why a person who is in knowledge of Krishna is considered higher than persons who are seeking wealth or those who are seeking, who are approaching Krishna out of distress and so forth. But even a person approach with knowledge, although they may not be pure, but by the directions of the pure devotee, they are able to shape their intelligence in such a way they can follow the Pancharatra system of devotional service. Srila Prabhupada, he created the ISKCON atmosphere such a way that we actually have a regulated system. Because from time immemorial, we have embraced the lifestyle, the material lifestyle, which has actually imprinted so many images within our consciousness that is averse to Krishna's pleasure. So that's why Srila Prabhupada, he established this Pancharatra system of devotional service, or the regulated lifestyle of devotional service, such a way that we can purify our intelligence from such material obnoxious desires we may have. Like, for example, just by following these four regulated principles, no meat-eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex, and no gambling, and just by regularly chanting 16 rounds and associating with devotees, we are able to, just by doing this simple process, we are able to tune our intelligence such a way we can make spiritual progress. This is a regulation. This life is called regulation. And once we become pure enough through following the Pancharatrika Vidhi or the regulated devotional lifestyle, one can develop true love for Krishna in his different forms. As mentioned here, that Bahumurti, having many forms, Eka Murtikam. So anyway, Krishna, who is himself, he has many forms. Krishna manifests himself in many, many forms. The purpose of Krishna manifesting himself in many, many forms is so that he can reciprocate with the devotee's love accordingly. Like, for example, a devotee wants to respect the Lord through on reverence or through respect. So the Lord manifests himself as Narasimhadev or Vishnu or Varahadev. So then you can relate with the Lord in that mood. Similarly, if a person wants to reciprocate with Krishna as a father, mother, so the Lord appears himself as Lord Ramachandra, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and so forth. So then there's this, you can have this motherly relationship or fatherly relationship. This is achieved in the pure loving state of love of God, you can say. If one wants to love Krishna spontaneously, and one wants to love God spontaneously, Krishna, he himself manifests himself, so that you can express your love through spontaneous devotional service. So the Lord appears in different forms, but ultimately to fulfill the desires each and every devotees have. It is explained by Lord Brahma that the form of Lord Narasimha and the form of Varaha, they are not different from Krishna. He explains, Deepa Chireva Hidasantarama Bhupeta Deepa Yatena Vitahetu Samana Dharma. That from one candle, you can light up so many other candles. But the nature of the fire, which comes from the original candle, is the same. It has the same potency of heat and light. Samana Dharma, it has the same nature. So, we should not. Generally, we respect Nrisimha Deva and Krishna. They are non-different. They are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or they are the enjoyers. Unlike the demigods, because demigods, they are not God themselves. They are servants of God. So we do not identify the demigods as God, as explained by Akrura in the next few verses. So ultimately, by the mercy of pure devotee, one can actually understand Krishna, not by their erudite scholar. In regards to this, I'd like to tell a beautiful pastime. This pastime gives us an understanding that the mercy of devotee is what can make us understand who Krishna is, and not by by scholarly wisdom. This pastime happened in Bengal, when Haridas Thakur, he was invited by two brothers, Govardhan Majumdar and Hiranya and Govardhan Majumdar. Hiranya and Govardhan Majumdar invited Haridas Thakur for an assembly where they discussed about the greatness of the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. So, everyone knew that Haridas Thakur, he was recognized as Harinam Acharya, or one who teaches others by an example of how to chant the holy name of the Lord. So they wanted to bring up the topic of the holy name of the Lord. So one of these great scholars said, by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, one is able to eradicate all sinful reaction. Another scholar said, by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, one can stop the material existence. But Haridas Thakur said, actually, you know what? These two aspects, freeing oneself from material desires and freeing oneself from sinful life, is easily achieved by the dim reflection of chanting of the holy name. He gave us such a wonderful example. He said, even if before the sun rises, as the day appears, the ignorance is gone away. Similarly, by engaging oneself in devotional service, chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, even before it has risen as such, one achieves this result. Just by a dim reflection, just by a rising of the sun, or the dim reflection of the chanting of the holy name, one can attain liberation. This is what Haridas Thakur said. So, among the scholars and the brahmanas, there's one very envious, contradictory brahmana. His name was Gopal Chakravarti. He stood up and in angry rage, he started saying to Haridas Thakur, how could you say that just by a dim reflection of chanting the holy name of the Lord you can attain liberation? He said that the jnanis for millions of lifetime do meditation and pursue spiritual knowledge, but they can't attain impersonal liberation. How could you speak that by just chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra you can attain impersonal liberation? This is not possible. So, Haridas Thakur, he supported his statement by quoting different shlokas of the Shastra, by proving that by chanting the holy name, one can actually easily just the beginning stage of chanting of the holy name, one can actually attain such liberation. He quoted a famous example of Ajamil. Ajamil, he didn't even think of Narayan. He thought of Narayan, who was his son. His son's name was Narayan. And just by chanting the name of Narayan, his son, he got such an elevated spiritual position. What to speak of persons who chant the holy name with faith? They will surely get a higher destination. So he supported himself with the sastra, because by nature the Brahmana was very contradictory and envious. He started blaspheming Haridas Thakur. He said to Haridas Thakur, "How could you say this?" He said that if it isn't true, I will chop off your nose. He said to Haridas Thakur, that I will chop off your nose. And Hiranya Govardhan Majumdar, who were the treasurer of the king, they were totally displeased with Gopal Chakravarti and fired him out of their job, that is bringing the revenues to the king. So within the span of 3 days, he was attacked by a leprosy. The leprosy infected him such a way that his nose melted off and his fingers and nails melted off. And he was thrown away from the society, because a person who has leprosy, they are not generally in the society. They are thrown away from the society. Anyway, Haridas Thakur, and everyone was very happy and thought, oh, how mystical Haridas Thakur was. But Haridas Thakur, within his heart, when he heard this, he felt pity. He didn't feel happy to see the suffering of another person. And with displeasure, he requested Govardhan Majumdar and Hiranya Majumdar that I would like to leave the village and go to Shantipur. So he left to Shantipur. But as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he performed the Sankirtan Leela, he would come across, and he came across this Gopal Chakravarti. And when Gopal Chakravarti saw Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he took refuge of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He said, "Oh Mahaprabhu, please save me. I am attacked by this leprosy. Please help me out. I am in great difficulty." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, understanding that he offended the holy name, he could easily forgive the person, because the chanting of the holy name Hare Krishna is not different from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They are not different. Krishna and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are not different. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Actually, greatest offense you have done is not unto the holy name as such, but to my devotee, Haridas Thakur. You can only forgive yourself if you take shelter of Haridas Thakur." So that's how Gopal Chakravarti took shelter of Haridas Thakur, and he was able to shape his intelligence such a way that he could please Krishna, and that's how he even got rid of leprosy. So this is a famous example of how knowledge cannot make us understand who Krishna is. Rather, through the mercy and the devotional service to Krishna, mercy of the devotees and the devotional service to Krishna, and that is how we are able to shape our intelligence such a way we can please Krishna. Thank you very much. Is there any comments or questions?